I normally get up here and try to get the thing turned on, but I did all right tonight. I know, we're doing Ecclesiastes again. I figured it out. Speaking every 3 months and only getting 7 or 8 verses done, it should take about 5 and a half more years, and I should be through it. So you know what to look forward to. 5 and a half years of Ecclesiastes every 3 months. Go from there. The first 7 verses of chapter 5, there's 3 things which are covered. Be afraid to make God angry. And don't be rash with your words. And don't be foolish with your words. Verses 1 through 7 covers the fact of being afraid to make God angry. And that's one thing all of us should be doing. The way we approach services, the way we approach when we come to the house of the Lord, I think is really an important thing. We were talking Wednesday about it. We come in here and we come here to honor God. We come here to praise God and do everything which is pleasing to Him. And we need to approach it that way when we come here. This first verse starts out, it says, guard your feet, your steps as you go to the house of God. And draw near to listen rather than offer the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know they are doing evil. And, you know, I looked at this and I'm trying to figure out. So what I did is I wrote my own little verse for what I interpret this as being. It says, guard your step as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than offer the sacrifices of fools. For they do not know they are doing evil. Basically, it says the same thing. The house of God, in this verse here, represents the temple, Solomon's temple, the synagogues, and also where we meet and worship God. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 20, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in His name, God's there. He's in our presence. And that's one thing we have to remember. In Acts 7:33, and this has to do with Moses as he approaches the burning bush. It says, then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet. For the place where you stand is holy ground. And we know that God's here tonight. All of us are believers in Him, and He's in our presence. And we're guided to be here and to do the right things through Jesus. In John 8:12, it says, then Jesus said again, spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And in 1 John 1, verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. And this is, even though we're in the presence of God, We're led here by Jesus, by the way that we have been, you know, saved through Jesus Christ. The path with the light, Jesus led us safely to the house of God. In 1 James, verse 19, this you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. And this has to do with the latter part of this verse 1. It's, we come and we speak when we're in here. And we have to be careful of what we speak and what we say and how we say it. God is still speaking today, but few are listening. Every time that a lesson is brought, as Bruce brings a lesson to us in that, God is speaking through him. He's given us our guidance and teaching us. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it says, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that gives thanks to his name. And then in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. God doesn't want us to be in a formal setting. He wants us to be here for the purpose of obeying his word, to show our love for him, to praise him, and he wants us to give our hearts to him whenever we're here in this service. In verse 2, it says, do not be hasty in words or impulse in thoughts to bring up matters in the presence of God. For God is in heaven, and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. So again, what I get from that, it says, do not be eager to speak to God. You must think carefully before you promise something to God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So do not say much when you speak to him. Because God is in heaven and man is on earth, rash promises can get you in trouble. Too many times people promise that they're going to do something for God. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to give this much time to get something that they're accomplished. I'm going to do this thing this week. But so many times it's not carried through. There's a lot of examples in the Testaments, and especially in the Old Testament, it gives you examples of that. James 3, verse 2, it says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. I know I stumble. I mean, I stumble, I stutter, I have slip of memory and things like that. But, you know, we have to be careful with things like that. The tongue is an evil weapon, and it destroys. And you must, you know, we must let the Spirit of God help us in bridling our tongue and our actions. In Matthew 12, verse 36, it says, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. So everything you say, and you know you've said something other which might have hurt somebody's feelings, or you said something other which you shouldn't have said, and you say, well, I just won't do it again. That's not the proper approach. You know, you need to correct it. You need to go back and try to make it right. And especially if you make it right with God. That's the important thing. And we have to be careful in our prayers. We got to make sure we don't have the wrong motivation. In James 4, verse 3, you asked and do not receive because you asked with the wrong motive, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You know, I think whenever I was a lot younger, and, you know, they always say, I mean, all you have to do is ask God for it, you know, pray for him and continue to pray. And, you know, you'll get it. I had an uncle. He really wasn't a real churchgoer or anything like that. But he thought his prayers would get him everything he needed. And so he prayed all the time, and he says, I'm doing something wrong. And then he looked about giving, and he says, yeah, I said, I've seen in the Bible where it says, if you give, God will give back to you. So he would do a job, and he'd get paid, and he'd take all that money he got from that job, and he'd put it into contribution. And he'd be sitting back here, I said, aren't you going to go on another job? He was self-employed. He was a painter. And he says, no, I'm waiting for God to give me another job. And he says, so I can make my money back and receive the blessings. That's definitely the wrong approach. We all know that. Ecclesiastes verse 3 of chapter 5 is, for the dream comes through much effort, and the voice of a fool through many words. I think each of us, I don't. Well, I guess everybody else does, but I don't. I don't dream. I can never remember a dream. And my wife, she gets up in the morning, she says, I had the best dream last night. You know, I don't know if it's my memory. I can't remember what I dreamed or what. But dreams, I guess, are kind of an important thing. But what causes dreams is, if you look at it, you ate the wrong thing at night. You've worked hard all day long, and you're all wound up when you go to bed. You sort of sit and toss and turn, and you don't, you know, things start going through your mind, and next thing you know, you're dreaming. But your mind becomes sort of idle and stuff like that, but I don't have that problem. When I lay down, I go to sleep, and I don't toss and turn. But dreams are something that comes. In Proverbs, the 10th chapter, verse 19, it says, when there are many words, transgressions is unavoidable. But if he who restrains his lips is wise. And I think that's what the latter part of that verse talks about. Through much effort, the voice of a fool through many, many words. And in In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says, chapter 5, verse 4, when you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he makes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. So when you promise something to God, make sure you carry through with it and keep that promise. Promises made to God have serious implications. The Old Testament gives you many, many examples of what happens to you and if you don't. In Judges, the 11th chapter, verses 34 through 35, and before that, the beginning part of that chapter, I'll see if I can get Jephthah. Jephthah was basically pushed away by his relatives from Gilead, and he went and lived in Mizpah. And anyway, he had a daughter. But eventually what happened is the Ammons, they were fighting with him, and they come and asked him to go fight for him. And he came in, and he went up to fight against them, but he went to God and he asked him for his assistance. He asked him to be with him whenever he did and give him victory. So he promised God something. He says, the first thing that comes out my front door whenever I return home, I will sacrifice to you. And this is in 34 and 35. When Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, behold, his daughter was coming out to meet him with tambourine and with dancing. Now she was his one and only child. Besides her, he had no son or daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you are among those who trouble me. For I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot take it back. And his word was he was going to sacrifice his daughter to the Lord. We know about Ananias and Sapphira, what they did. They made a vow. They promised that they was going to give to the Lord their land. But the problem where they made their mistake what they sold the land for, they only gave part of it instead of all of it. And God required more than that, and he took their lives. So many times we go and ask God to do something for us, and we'll do something back for him, you know, make a deal. Let's make a deal. You know, I always thought whenever I was trying to get the church started up there in Delta, I said, if I could just come up with some money, if God could just give me some money to get going, you know, because the congregation was so small. I said, you know, I'll take whatever I get and I'll throw it into the church so it gets done. Well, we did. And it took some sacrifices. It took everything that I had, every penny I had extra, and everybody else that we had in the congregation. Everybody who had any extra money, they put it in. And we built the building. You got to be careful with these promises you make, because God will require for them to be paid back. In Ecclesiastes, verse 5, it says, it is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. And in Matthew 5, 34 through 37, but I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you make an oath by your head. For you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. So he requires us to do exactly what we say we're going to do. If you say you're going to do this, do it. Proverbs, the 20th chapter, verse 25. It is a trap for a man to say rashly, it is holy, and after the vow, to make inquiries. So it's saying, for him to say, that's a holy thing that's being done here, and then go ask the priest or somebody else, was it really? Not being sure of what he's agreeing to or saying. We know that in Acts 5, verse 4, it says, while it remains unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then verse 6, do not let your speech cause you to sin, and do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry on account of your voice and destroy the works of your hand? It says, don't vow something. So basically, don't vow something your flesh desires will cause you to break those, you know, those vows. It has been mentioned every time before that flesh of the spirit rules the will of a person. So we know that whenever our desires do not meet what we'd promised, we get ourselves in trouble. We stray from our promises that we make to God. We know that the heart controls the spirit. And if we have good intentions and we follow through with those good intentions, we have a good heart. But if we make a promise and we decide that I just said that, it really doesn't mean anything, and then end up breaking that promise you made, then you end up failing in the end. In Luke 6, verse 45, it says, a good man, out of good treasures of his heart, bring forth what is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures, bring forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And all of us, what we're made of, what we consist of, what we have been raised to understand is, you know, how we live our lives. And our main thing is to make sure we're going to please God in everything that we do. And it can become tough at times, but we can do it. In verse 7, it says, "For in many dreams and in many words, there is emptiness. Rather, fear God." Now, this is the whole theme, in my opinion, of Ecclesiastes, is to fear God. Well, you can go through all these chapters and you'll find out, fear God and keep His commandments. So this is really an important thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14, says, "I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should fear Him." So, God has so worked that men should fear Him. And then in Ecclesiastes, and I've used this verse before, chapter 12, verse 13, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. And I think all of us, we need to keep that in mind with everything that we do. Whenever we come here together in services, our concentration, our thoughts, everything that we're doing is centered around God. We're to do everything we possibly can whenever we're worshiping here, to do the things what God wants us to do. I think of the years I wasted when I was younger. You know, the years you sowed the wild oats, the years when you had the energy and were capable of doing things. I remember whenever I was first converted, and I think I was 17. And I actually brought people into the church. I actually went out and knocked on doors, and I met with people and talked with them, and brought people into the church, and actually did a lot of things. And then I got to the point to where other things were more important. Work, so I can go to school, play football, then go into the Navy. And I'd go to church, but my mind was not on the main goal, is to be worthy to be called a Christian, be worthy to meet the goals that God wants us to meet. We had two people come forward this morning. You know, they said they lost sight of what was going on. They realized that they needed to work harder to accomplish what they need to do. I know I don't do enough. I know I don't spend enough time trying to do what God wants me to do. But I try to do better and better as I go on, and that's what all of us do. But Dick, we're running out of time. We're starting to get on the downhill slide, and that's something, huh? But I had a grandmother who lived to be, a great-grandmother who lived to be 110, so maybe I'm not on the downward slide. Maybe I'm still climbing. But this lesson it says the same thing with all these verses. It talks about how important it is to please God. It talks about how important it is to put Him first and keep your eyes on what He requires of you. It teaches us that everything that we do is for God. We are to be working as hard as we possibly can. I know that I have times where I get sidetracked and get off on something else, but I just I see the need to do more things to please God. I hope that everyone which is here this evening, you can use something of what I said or what I did. But we need to apply it to our lives. We need to apply the fact that God wants us to be pleasing to Him, to put Him first, give Him our hearts, praise Him, give Him all the attention and our desires should be towards God. That's what it's all about. I don't know if there's anyone that's not a Christian, but I think everybody is here. We'll have an opportunity to stand and sing the invitation song. If there's any other prayers which people want or request, if someone has strayed, has not done the things which they feel is pleasing to God, they can have the opportunity to come forward and take care of this. So as we sing the invitation song, if you have any needs, let your wishes be known.